Yes, an old messenger of God's that gives warnings, and he's not a prophet, he's not a priest, he's just a layperson, just like many of you are, and stuff. And he warning them from God about the future that they're going to face. He said here in chapter 3, he said, "Hear this word the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt." Goes all the way back to the days and time where Moses went down and told Pharaoh to let my people go. And all the things forward since that day and their rejection to cross over Jordan, go in, possess the land and stuff. It cost them 40 years of bondage out there in the wilderness. He said, "You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins." And what he's sharing here is that, look at verse 2 there. He said, "You only have I chosen." We know the Jew is God's chosen people, right? He started a brand new family of people. He said, "Of all the families of the earth, I chose you. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins." Just because there's this chosen people didn't excuse them from the fact that they had to face an awesome God and give an account of themselves. Verse 3 says, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so?" You may have somebody, you don't want to be buddies with them and walk down the road together. He said, "Does a lion roar in the thicket when it has no prey?" It's quiet, isn't it? And hopes that something will come along that he can make his prey. "Does he growl in his den when he has caught nothing? Does a bird fall into a trap on the ground where no snare has been set? Does a trap spring up from the earth when there is nothing to catch? When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble?" And he asked 7 different questions here. And Amos was just trying to show how different links, different things can be connected together in their lives. And so in showing this, he is showing God's revelation. To him was God's sign that judgment was going to come. They better listen and their lives. He said, "When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." Now, my little footnote says this, and I want you to hear what it says. He says, "Even in anger, God is merciful. He always warned his people through prophets before punishing them." We went through many prophets in the Old Testament scripture coming down through and they sounded the warning. And God doesn't just pounce on you without a warning of sort. And what do we call those things today? We have an unk or a feeling or a, what's that word I'm looking for? That's right. I can't say it, but you can. That's good. That's good. So Warnings about sin and judgment apply to people today, just as they did to Israel. Because we've been warned about our sin, we have no excuse when punishment comes. God warned his people through his priests and his prophets so that they could not rationalize or complain when God punished them for refusing to repent. Do not take lightly the warnings in God's word about judgment. His warnings are a way of showering mercy on you. A whole lot better to know what's coming than to have it sneak up on you. And things that's taking place. And this is what he's talking about here and their lives. Yes, God's going to deal with them. He's going to exercise his judgment. But he didn't use a priest this time. He didn't use a prophet this time. He just used a regular old lay person that willing to speak what the Lord would have him to do in his life concerning all this stuff. The lion is roared. Who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Proclaim to the fortresses of Ashdod and to the fortresses of Egypt. Ashdod was a Philistine city, and it was side of the temple of the god of Dagon, and which was a pagan god. And Amos here, he just pictured out these two cities here of Egypt and the mountains of Samaria here and dealing with them and all the sin that was so relevant there and their lives. But it didn't matter. It doesn't matter what nation, kindred, or folk that they are. Everybody, Bible teaches, didn't say every American's knees gonna bow and every tongue's gonna confess, did it? He said, everybody. We're all gonna give an account of ourselves to the things of God. Assemble yourselves on the mountain of Samaria. See the great unrest within her and the oppression among her people. And he's trying to, through Amos here, set the stage for them to realize what a significant event this is going to be when God's judgment comes down. Now, think with me for a moment. In Amos's day and time, and the technology and stuff that they had at that time was 99% of it was what? Mouth to mouth, you know? Had to get it and translated like. And so in this case here, what do we have today? We can spread it to the world, that's right. And just that fast, you know, it doesn't take the blinking of an eye to send these responses and messages and all these things that we have around the world today. And just look up there, how many messages we're gonna send with those, you know, and the things that God would have us to do. And all right, he, assemble yourselves on the mountain of Samaria. See the great unrest within her, the oppression among the people. What did Amos tell us last week? You remember? There's two sets of people. What were they? The rich and famous, poor and the lowly. What? That's right. What did the rich and famous do to the poor and lowly? Took them down, used them, abused them. shoot them up, spit them out, just so mean to them. Verse 10 says, they do not know how to do right, declares the Lord. They hoard plunder and loot in their fortresses. You got everything in the world they want, but they went in and overrun these poor people, take what little valuables they had, take their kids and stuff and make slaves out of them, mistreat them. He said, therefore, this is what the Lord says, verse 11. An enemy will overrun the land. He will pull down your strongholds and plunder your fortresses. And the enemy he's talking about here is going to be the Assyrians. They're going to come on the scene. They're going to be unexpected. And because they're not that great in number, you know, they're thinking that ain't going to be nothing to this. And here comes the Assyrians. And he'll put down your strongholds, plunder your fortresses. As a shepherd says from the lion's mouth, only two leg bones and a piece of an ear, so will the Israelites be saved. And the shepherd wanted to, when a lion or any other predator came and attacked his flock. Remember, Amos was a sheep herder and a tender of olive and fig orchards. But if a lion came and took one of his sheep, and he wouldn't just be content, say, all right, you got one, go and leave us alone, you know. He fought that lion for what? That little bit that was left. Why do you think he did that? What was his thinking behind that? Let him get away and don't do nothing to the lion. Don't. He'll be back for an easy prey tomorrow, won't he? So he was out to demonstrate here. And he said, just like the shepherd says, a couple of old legs and an ear, piece of an ear. Even though there's no life there, he showed that lion, you're not going to get away with this. And what's God showing us? We're not going to get away with it either in our lives. He said, so will the Israelites be saved, those who sit in Samaria, on the edge of their beds and in Damascus, on their couches. And things that's taking place there in their lives. Even though the people were scattered to a lot of different lands, and they had a lot of different situations. Some of them were slaves to the Assyrians or the Persians or the Babylonians or the whoever's or whatever's. But God said he's going to do what? Reach out there to the north, the south, the east, and the west and bring them all together. And verse 13 says, hear this and testify against the house of Jacob, declares the Lord God Almighty. Heed this warning that I'm telling you, Amos said. It's a word that come from the Lord Almighty. Look at verse 14. On the day I punish Israel for her sins, I will destroy the altars of Bethel. You know, that's where when they first came into the land, they set down and built a monument there in Bethel. And what did all these ungodly rulers and stuff do? They placed their idols at the place in Bethel. He said, I'll destroy the altars that are of Bethel. The horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. Who do you think the sin, the horns of the altar are? None other than the Lord Almighty, you know. He said, I'll tear down the winter house along with the summer house. The houses adorned with ivory will be destroyed and the mansions will be demolished, declared the Lord. they had their riches, they had all the goodies and all the finery and stuff. But God said, what? I'll wipe it out. Has he got the power to do that? What have we seen right here in our little neck of the woods? You know? We saw devastation like nobody ever dreamed we'd see, you know, with Katrina and Camille and a lot of these other hurricanes and stuff, and a lot of the things that's happening in a lot of lives and stuff. After all that warning in chapter 4, Israel still hadn't returned to God. Listen what it says. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria. And so as we think of this, Israel, wealthiest families, the women in those families were called cows of Bashan. They were pampered and slick and beautiful, well-dressed, had the best of this and the best of that, had all these maids and stuff to care for them and everything. And so they squealed. Their husbands was Johnny on the spot to make sure that everything they wanted was at their fingertips there. Then he said, here, your cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria, your women who oppress the poor and crushed the needy, and say to your husband, bring us some drinks. You know, the sovereign Lord has sworn by his holiness, the time will surely come when you will be taken away with hooks, the last of you with fish hooks. You will each go straight out through breaks in the wall, and you'll be cast out toward Harmon, declares the Lord. And so God's got his aim for these women and how they blatantly live their lives and oppress the poor and the lowly and the needy and stuff, and treated them like they were dirt and their lives. Verse 4, he said, go to Bethel and sin. Go to Gilgal and sin yet more. Be about like us, saying, go to Biloxi. Go to New Orleans. Kick up your heels. Have a good time. And he said, bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 years. And, you know, every 3 years, I don't mean we just had to pay tithes once every third year. If you went back to Deuteronomy, and I had to do that to refresh my memory and stuff, but every third year, the Lord required that they set aside and fill the barns of the soup kitchens and stuff, you know, is what I call them. Just like we take up our offering the first Sunday in the month to go to our food bank, you know, to help those that are less fortunate, to help those that are in need, to deal with it. Yes, some may take advantage of that, you know, and you can go and watch, and they'll be at our food bank on the designated day. They'll be at that one the next day and that one over yonder and stuff and things. But we've done our part in trying to help and assist and stuff. And so what he's saying, every third year, out of the abundance of the harvest, fill these food banks so that for the next 3 years, anyone in need can come there and get help. And so I relate it to how we do our food bank today. And if God required them to do that third year, what do you think that harvest is going to be like? Is it going to be a half a crop? He's going to bless it, isn't he? He's going to bless it. And burn leavened bread as a thank offering. Brag about your free will offerings. Boast about them, you Israelites. For this is what you love to do, declares the Lord. What did God tell us about it, our doings for our fellow man? Don't let your left hand know what your right one's doing, right? And what did he say about that little widow's mite? She gave more than all the rest. Why? She gave everything she had. That's right. And he said, you can get out and you can throw in a couple of $100 bills in the plate, and brag about it. But you just will to throw it in the fire, you know, as far as the blessing that God's going to give you. Verse 6, he said, I tried to talk to you. I tried to show you. I told you many, many times, I've never lived in a time when there's as many natural disasters as what there are today. But listen to what he said here. I gave you empty stomachs in every city and lack of bread in every town. We just got through this, going through that. How did he do that? What did he do to the land? He dried it up, didn't he? Drought in the land. And they didn't have food to eat. Got serious, didn't you? Even though I made there to be a lack of bread, yet you have not returned to me. Didn't face them, did it? I also withheld rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away, just when that crop was needing that rain the worst. What did he say? I withheld the rain. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. One field had rain, another had none, and dried up. People staggered from town to town looking for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declared the Lord. So he took the water away from them, took their food away from them. All right, let's see what he does next. Verse 9. Many times I struck your garden and vineyards. I struck them with blight and with mildew. Locusts devoured your figs and olive trees. We read and studied about the invasion of the locusts and how they built all the branches and set the fire to try to stop the locusts. Even in all of that, you have not returned to me. I tried to put some things in there, and I mentioned a couple of them a while ago. You know, God can tell us. I sent Katrina. I sent Camilla. I sent 911, you know, and on and on and on. And yet, America, you hadn't done what? Returned to me, have we? Still doing our thing our way and no regard whatsoever to what the Lord would have us to do and our lives. He said here, I sent plagues among you as I did to Egypt. What's the plague that we had to deal with in our lives? COVID. Thank you, Miss Winnie. COVID. Boy, that changed our world in all different directions, didn't it? Very much so. A lot of things I think was foolishness, but some of it had real reality to it. He said, people, you know, try to take advantage of folks in a time of crisis like that. He said, here, I sent plagues among you just like I did to Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword, along with your captured horses. Who had all them horses and chariots with them big old blades sticking out there to cut them Israelites in pieces when they ran over them with them horses and buggies. What do we got today? We ain't got horses and chariots. We got tanks and you name anything you can think of. Drones, yeah. That's when we're on to the most modern thing. We're pretty smart, aren't we? We think. But put that drone upside of God, what you got? Ain't got nothing, have you? He said here, I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps, yet you have not returned to me, declared the Lord. Filled your tents. Every tent got visited for the who? The Israelites, they out there, because God told them every male above the age of 20 would die out there in that 40-year wilderness experience, didn't they? They had some kind of burial out of those thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Verse 11 said, I overthrew some of you as I overthrowed Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a burning stick snatched from the fire. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Can you imagine Lot and his family, and they having to be drug out of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, and his wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. But the destruction and stuff that God placed on Sodom and Gomorrah and some other towns and villages and stuff around about there, and doing that, it's like me seeing our military today as they engage in warfare and stuff. And this thing, the latest thing I've been watching is this attack on these Colombian boats and stuff coming in with all the dope and stuff, you know, and stuff, and blow them out of the water, can't we? You know, from miles and miles and miles away, you know. Would you say we're pretty smart this day and time? Pretty sophisticated in what we can do? Are we any match for God? No. Who made us able to do those kind of things? God did, didn't he? He said, I overthrew some of you just as I overthrowed Sodom and Gomorrah. But you were just like a burning stick in my hand, you know, and snatched from the fire, yet you have not returned to me. Therefore, in verse 12, this is what I will do to you, Israel. And because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. What's our warning? Every one of us got to heed that same warning. Be prepared to meet our God. No man knows the day or the hour. We may not see each other come daylight in the morning. You know, we may not get out of this building tonight alive. But God's in control. And he said that because I will do this to you, you need to be prepared to meet your God. Old Israel, his own chosen people, the ones that he started from nothing with and made a whole new breed and tribe of people. And they have rejected him and rejected him and rejected him. And what is the Jew and Gentile doing today? Same thing. Verse 13 says, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind and reveals his thoughts to man. He who turns down, who turns dawn to darkness and treads the high places of the earth. The Lord God Almighty is his name. Which of us could set into motion the forming of a mountain? Who of us could reveal thoughts to man? How many times did he watch his disciples after he'd done a miracle or he taught them a lesson or done something? And he knew they had he could look at them and tell they had a question on their mind. And he'd ask them about it, you know. You want to know about this? He said, who here can reveal the thoughts to man? He who turns dawn into darkness. We don't have to worry about if the sun's going to come up, if the moon's going to shine. What's God going to do? Take care of it, isn't he? And he treads the high places of the earth. He is the Lord God Almighty. That is his name. Absolutely. Any question, any thought about this? Anything you want to share? He didn't say, I'm one of the Almighty Gods, did he? He said, I am the Almighty. What did he tell them in Scripture before? They asked him, who shall we say? He said, tell them what? I am that. Absolutely. All right. Anything else that you know of? Brother Ernie, I got you a responsive reading I want to insert in there with the dedicating of the shoeboxes before we send them all. I'll give it to you. You was on top of it a while ago. But you ladies got anything else particular concerning that that me and Brother Ernie needs to figure into our service for Sunday? All right. Okay. Hey, when have they got to go? Monday?
Anytime that week, the 17th through the
24th. Okay. Monday I'll have board meeting, but Tuesday I can get the boys to help, and we'll get them down there that morning if we can carry them before I have to go off to see the Long Ranger. See if he's got his knife sharp.
He's going to be looking at him and think, cutting, that's what he's going
to do. Not when he's going to start up burning us. Hey.
But he is good.
Okay.
He'll tell you.
He better be ready, because my wife's ready for him. I can tell you that. Yeah. She'll be satisfied, yeah.
Some things you don't need to know.
That's right. That's the reason I wanted them to take me right on. You know, years ago, that's what we did. Ain't Bernice and Craig Hyatt and somebody else was down there the same day. And they done Craig's and Aunt Bernice's that night. They went into the night and done them. And now they got to send you home and do all this other and get all that.
They
got to
run your insurance and ask them if it's okay to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
As telling you
I've told him that the other day, and I got 4:30 that evening, so I didn't have no influence with him, I can tell you that. Five 56, Brother Ernie. 556. Write it down, Laura. Me and him will never remember it till we get to the door. Responsive reading, 556. It's not back there in the back where the others is. It's in the middle of the. It's just.